Thank you, Jodine, for reading to us. Welcome to St Andrew's this evening. For those I haven't met yet, my name is Robin. I'm part of the team here as part of my training. And it's a privilege to speak to you and share with you that wonderful passage from Matthew's Gospel. Shall we pray? May the word of Christ dwell in us richly this evening as we look together at the identity of the King. Amen. So come with me to Nazi Germany, January 1934, Hockelheim. Pastor Paul Schneider preaches to his congregation. The sermon causes an uproar. The Nazi authorities become involved. Within 1 month, Schneider is forced to leave his church. Within 5 years, he dies in a concentration camp. Why? Because he would not be silent about who Jesus is. And what scripture did he preach on that cold night in January 1934? Was it honour the emperor, saying they shouldn't? No. Was it render unto Caesar, saying don't? No. It was this passage. Jesus walking on the water. Irresistible and compelling. To Schneider, at a time of storm and darkness in his land, Jesus' true identity meant more than life itself. So who is Jesus? Matthew unfolds the evidence for us. Last week, you remember, King of Compassion, King of Power. This week, let's dig in together. We're on page 981 of the Bibles in the pews. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. Tonight, this is a drama in three acts. Act 1, 22 to 27. Who is Jesus? He's the storm walker. That shouts of his identity. The picnic's over. The crowd of many thousands have dispersed. Immediately, we read, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. He wanted them to set out on the water without him. He needed time alone, on the mountainside, in prayer to his Father in heaven. 2 to 3 miles out on the lake, a storm blows up. Their boat is buffeted, tossed, even tormented. The wind is against them, opposed, even hostile. They've been in this position before, but last time, Jesus was in the boat with them. Tonight, though, he stayed behind. He made them go on ahead. Now, we know from Mark's Gospel that Jesus, from the mountainside, saw their predicament. So in the darkness of night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus walks out to them, about 3 miles on the water, walking on the storm. So let's see what's happening. Jesus, whom tonight we're worshipping, walks on water. That's no problem for him. As we hear in carol services, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made has been made. All things were created by him and for him. Though fully man, he was also fully God. We are not created to walk on water, but he is the creator. He can, even across storm and turbulence. So who is Jesus? He's the storm walker. And that means he's God. Our creator looks different from us. We should expect that. Our creator doesn't sink in his own oceans. He made them. He's showing the disciples who he is. And also, he's telling them who he is. They can't make him out. Is he a ghost? They're terrified. He immediately reassures them, saying, this is verse 27, "Take courage, don't be afraid." But even more than that, he says, "It is I." Or it could be translated, "I am." So many times Jesus said, "I am," applying to himself the name of God. Do you remember when God spoke to Moses through a burning bush back near the beginning of the scriptures? Moses asked him his name. God said, "I am who I am." Jesus here says, "Take courage, I am. Don't be afraid." The one who walks on the storm is God. So the application for us, it's fear not. Storms, seas, the Red Sea, the River Jordan, they're sometimes like pictures for us of chaos and barrier. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Life isn't all still waters. We know that. But fear not. Jesus can come suddenly and unexpectedly. And when the boat of our lives cuts through stormy waters, take courage. Act 2 of tonight's unfolding drama, verses 28 to 33. Who is Jesus? He's the Saviour. And that means he's to be worshipped and obeyed. Jesus is the Saviour. That's what his name means. Peter allows himself to be distracted, wouldn't you? He's walking on the water, heading for Jesus, but distractions come into his mind. He looks at the storm, the wind, the waves. Does he think, "I shouldn't be walking here. Oh no, I might sink. I'm beginning to. Oh help, I can't stay up. I might drown. This is terrifying." So he calls out, verse 30, "Lord, save me." Peter knew that Jesus has the power to save. And for the third time, in quick succession, Jesus acts immediately. He is no ghost. Jesus is very real. He reaches out his hand to Peter, catches him, and saves him. He's the Saviour. So Jesus is to be obeyed. Jesus had said to Peter just before, verse 29, "Come." Peter, the Prince of Apostles, Michael Green once called him, has got down out of the boat and walked on the water. Peter obeyed. And Jesus is to be worshipped. Up to this point in Matthew's Gospel, only God the Father, some demons, and the devil have recognized Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. Here, after Jesus causes the wind to die down, the disciples respond by worshipping him. Perhaps they only barely understood what they were saying, but they proclaim, verse 33, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Are 12 Jewish men who faithfully worship and fear the one true God now worshipping a man? No. They're acknowledging that in Jesus, somehow, Almighty God is with them. Emmanuel, Jesus is the Saviour. So the application for us, we've had fear not, it's doubt not. Recognize who Jesus is. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Don't look down, but be confident in the Saviour. This is good news. Our faith is not in faith. We needn't anxiously worry whether our faith is strong enough. Our faith's in Jesus, so doubt not. The worries of the world may crowd in. The winds of life may make us look down. Our footing may slip. But doubt not. Doubt not in the Saviour who is to be worshipped and obeyed. Act 3, the final act of tonight's drama, verses 34 to 36. Who is Jesus? He's the deliverer. The boat reach the other side of the lake. The locals recognized Jesus for who he is, and they responded by mobilizing the sick in the surrounding countryside, believing that if only they could just touch his cloak, then they would be healed. They did, and they were. All who touched his cloak were healed. He generously and lovingly met their needs. He's the deliverer. The application for us? We've had fear not, doubt not. It's reach out. Reach out to Jesus tonight. Come to him. Come in faith. Come in prayer. He cares for your needs. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In Jesus, we see God. So reach out to the loving deliverer. So the identity of Jesus makes all the difference. Holding firm to the truth about Jesus in the face of darkness and storm was very costly for Paul Schneider in Nazi Germany. But he knew Jesus and valued him above all else. All of this poses for us three really challenging questions. Now we know the identity of the King, do we live without fear, trusting him to lead us into still waters? Do we live without doubt, confident in him as our Saviour, to be worshipped and obeyed? Do we live reaching out to him, believing he will deliver us? Now, if you find it difficult to live like that every day, you're not alone. But don't give up. We need a new mindset first, before we can plot our course. Through these extraordinary events, are we catching sight of a spiritual reality that there are some things we can't do in our own strength, but we can do with God? God gives us the new mindset we need. That's good news. So mindset adjustment number one, let's rethink failure. Is there something here about not being afraid to fail? Not being in slavery to fear or in chain to doubt? Peter ultimately started to sink. He needed to be saved. But should we really call him a failure? God's pleased when we ask him to empower us to get out of the boat. Peter asked for a command. Jesus told him to come. So Peter got out of the boat. He trusted Jesus' authority. And for a while, Peter walked. Jesus wanted him to achieve that. That was success. John Ortberg wrote a book with a very long but catchy title. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. And in that he said, we are shaped not by failure, but by the way we respond to it. Failure isn't something that happens to us, but a way we think about outcomes. Jonas Salk, have you heard his name? He developed a vaccine for polio, and we celebrate that success. He'd previously tried and failed 200 times. And when asked how that felt, he answered, I was taught not to use the word failure. I just discovered 200 ways not to vaccinate for polio. So let's rethink failure. Adjustment number two, failure is not the end with Jesus. Peter's gaze and feet slipped. Jesus, in verse 31, challenged his doubt and even his faith. Later, Peter even more famously slipped again and denied Jesus three times. Yet by then, the other disciples had run away in fear. Only Peter remained. Jesus called him the rock. That's what his name means. Despite Peter's imperfections, Jesus built his church on him. Now, isn't that profoundly encouraging? Let's be inspired to respond well to setbacks, to allow Jesus to lift us up and press on. Failure isn't the end with Jesus. And our last adjustment, we're not alone. Did you spot verse 32? Jesus gets into the boat. Yes, this passage is about Jesus walking on the storm, but it's also about Jesus getting into the boat. After catching hold of Peter, Jesus got into the boat with them. Then the wind died down. Jesus is the still point in the center of the storm. In the Greek text of Matthew's Gospel, the words "I am" are exactly in the center of the passage. Is that an accident? Jesus is there. In the storm, Jesus is here. When we turn to him, then by his Holy Spirit, he dwells within us and accompanies us through life. We are in the presence of the King. We can share in his kingdom, breaking out here and now. We've not been left alone. So with God transforming our mindsets, what is it that we're empowered to do? Four final thoughts. Firstly, grow. We need his hand every day, so he answers our 101 calls. They may not be emergencies, but they're important. We keep on needing to ring. 101 calls empower our daily discipleship. By ourselves, we fear, we doubt. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, but we're distracted. If we reach out to him, though, he's there, giving strength to fear not and doubt not. This is lifelong hope and support for each day. Whatever our failures, we can hold on to the King. By reading his word, praying, worshipping, and enjoying his presence, we can step out to grow. We can know him, allow him to change us from within, and make us more like him. Hallelujah! What a saviour. Secondly, serve. For some of us, getting out of the boat might mean offering to serve him in new ways, trusting his provision, exploring and stretching our gifts, perhaps joining a team or group here at St. Andrew's for the first time. Thirdly, endure. 999 calls to Jesus are always urgent. A large wave that might break over us suddenly, overwhelming grief or anxiety, a life-changing event, or something we can't confront. If we reach out, Jesus is there. Even in the fiercest storm or the darkest night, Jesus will come and he will take our hands. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. Hallelujah. What a saviour. And fourthly, come. When Jesus says, come, is he perhaps calling you for the first time? Or maybe calling you back if you've been away? Are you still the captain of your lifeboat? Or do you need to get out onto the waters of faith and put your trust instead in Jesus? If Peter hadn't asked Jesus if he could come, this event might not be here for us now in the Gospels. What might be missing from your life story if you don't ask Jesus if you can come? You're welcome to pray this through with us here tonight before you leave. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Take the opportunity. Take the time to respond. Accompanied by God the Holy Spirit, may we be a people who grow, serve, and endure. And come. Come to Jesus, storm walker, saviour, deliverer, the still point in the centre of everything. I invite you now to bow your heads and we'll share some silence together in the presence of the King. Adapting a song by Stuart Townend. Now I hear the call that echoes down through history. Come, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Through every joy and sorrow, my grace is all you'll need. So trust me in the storm, for I'm the one who calms the sea. So no fear shall overwhelm me, for Lord, I do believe. You're the master and the maker. You're the man who calms the sea. And I'll trust you for tomorrow and seek you for today. For you're the master and the maker. You are God who calms the sea. Lord Jesus, we worship and adore you for who you are, the Son of God. Please give us, like Pastor Paul Schneider, the grace to fix our eyes on you. Thank you that you come into the boat with us. So when we fear or doubt, may we reach out to you. Amen.